every summer, in fact, even as I speak. One of my best mates is on Devon Island, which is just off the coast of Canada, where we actually have a simulation of Mars on Earth. They actually have an environment where they live and they pretend they're on Mars, and they actually have a built-in time delay to Houston in Texas, 20-minute time delay, where they pretend they're actually real space experts on Mars. Hebrides Island, which is very like a Martian environment. It's got craters, it's very, very cold, and every summer they go off there. That, this is basically practice for humans going to Mars. Now, why should humans go to Mars? Well, I think, very seriously, I know this has been a very light-hearted talk so far, but I will say something very, very seriously. When the space shuttle disintegrated over Texas on the 1st of February, it totally changed my entire life. I'd met the previous space shuttle crew, and the guy who was our third British astronaut said to me, Heather, you've got to say to me, you've got to promise me that you will fly in space with me on a future occasion. And I said to him, to Piers Sellers, I said, Piers, I promise you I will fly in space as an astronaut. I'm still young, I'm still fit, I can do it. Technologically, I'm useless, but I'll do it. But it just devastated me that this team had this problem and it all happened. And I said to Nigel, I said, look, you know, I feel really upset about the whole configuration of the space shuttle. We've got a space plane bolted onto what's effectively an enormous tank of lethal explosive fuel. And these two, and the other one is solid rocket boosters, which once you put them on, you can't turn off. Nigel said, okay, you've got to have the courage of your convictions. You've got to make a television programme. So I made a rapid reaction documentary, which was screened at primetime television in Britain. Within 4 weeks, I was on the road in the States. We were suffering blizzards and everything, getting delayed, but it was as nothing. You know, we owe it to these pioneers who are really doing it for all of us. And we've got to go there, and we will go there. And this is our next challenge. First stage is the International Space Station. I know it's not very exciting. You know, it's there and NASA is promoting it in a major way, but it's not your focus in space. We need a world. We need a world to focus on. And we will certainly get there. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a 3-year trip. Basically, it's going to take, for a human trip, It's going to be 9 months to get there, 18 months on the surface, and 9 months back. It's easy if you're just sending a one-way probe, but if you're sending human beings, you actually have to have them on the surface until Mars and the Earth get back into register in their orbits, because that's the strange thing. Mars has a very oval orbit, and you need to actually time your flight back so you actually get back at the right time. As one of the psychologists we interviewed for the book said to us, look, imagine, it's like being in a camper van for 3 years without being able to get out. So this is the Mir space station where people actually literally went mad being in space for a year. I mean, astronauts or cosmonauts just wouldn't talk to each other. So it is a very, very long journey. And you've got to have a very interesting crew. You've got to have people qualified, first of all, for medical emergencies. And again, I talked to a doctor who'd been in space, who was relishing the prospect of doing an appendicitis operation. And I thought, oh God, I don't want to hear about this by remote control. But you're going to need to have not the right stuff. You're not going to have your Neil Armstrongs or your Alan Shepherds. You're not going to have those Pratts who went into space to begin with. I'm sorry, but they were, and I met them. But the latest crop of astronauts are much better people. They're human beings who are kind and wonderful. And somebody said to me, the kind of commander is going to be someone like Shackleton, who assessed his potential crews by checking out their sense of humour. And if they responded rightly to a challenge, and laughed.
He'd say, yeah, okay, cool, come on board, whatever you said in 1890. But you're not looking at the powerful macho stuff. So the first commander going to Mars is going to be me. I've decided. And we are going to get there. I don't know when we're going to get there. We talked to our 60 Mars experts. We said, when's it going to be? And the Office of Exploration at NASA, who are responsible for the Space Shuttle and the Space Station, actually asked us for a private conference. We had a private press conference with them. 12 of them actually volunteered to talk to us. I could not believe it. I mean, God, for God's sake, we're just, you know, pony journalists. But they said, we want to talk to you. Well, we want to be honest. And they said, it could be 5 years if we had the political will, we have the technology to get there already. Other people have said to us, no, it's going to be 20 years. Other people have said it's going to be more than that, because it's 30 years since we've gone to the moon. But the bottom line is, we have the technology to go to Mars almost tomorrow. And when we get there, we're going to arrive, and we're going to explore. And I think my feeling is we're going to do it in my lifetime. And I don't think I want to be one of them. Not for 3 years, but I think we're going to do it.